Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Road to Cheltenham. I'm delighted to say that this evening with me, I do have Ruby Walsh, not in hologram form, but really, actually, here. Welcome back.
Cheers. Like, if this is supposed to be our show, why am I the one that's always sitting over there?
Well, you could. We put you over here last time.
I don't know.
Is that enough of a nod towards it?
We'll move swiftly on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Something interesting.
Let's crack on with it, shall we? We started with Defi Desoi. And this horse, of course, started off this season winning the Schlur. Ruby here was a little bit concerned about the speed or the direction in which, how quick he was over a fence, wasn't it? And was he any better in the Tingle Creek on Saturday?
Way better, way lower, way more accurate even. Once or twice in the back straight, Barry had to roust him away from the back of a couple of fences, but it was quite evident from early on, even at the first ditch, you watch how low he is and fast he is through the air. He's jumped up past Janika and held his own with Politolog and Undersoe, and you see him here now in the back straight. You see what I mean about Barry having to ride him away. When he lands, Barry drops his rear end in the saddle and hunts him straight back into the bridle. He does the same again at the water jump here. The first two strides, Barry's just squeezing him from the back of him. Mm-hmm. And again at the last railway, when he lands, the key tabs in Undersoe. When he lands, he maybe not land him enough impulsion yet, but he's come down out of the air and he's getting faster through the air. He just has to get quicker away from the back of him. But after having this run on Saturday, you could see that improvement coming very easily.
So he's going the right way, essentially, in terms of his technique.
Yeah.
And so would you agree that this means that he's likely to go for the champion chase?
I would have no issue with him if I was involved in the horse and saying, yeah, go champion chase road. I think with the improvement he's making, he definitely could. I think Barry probably been conscious of his jumping, maybe rode him a bit closer to the pace than he would in the next time he'd ride him in a 2 mile race. I think he'd ride him with a bit more confidence.
Ultimately, I mean, both Barry Geraghty and Philip Hobbs have been very positive about the champion chase. Ultimately, though, you know, JP McManus has a lot of horses, so he and Frank Berry are going to, you know, put their horses in the race that they've got the best chance of winning. Can you see any reason why they might not go for the champion chase?
I don't see another champion chase horse that they have. Ballyushin is a genuine grade 2 horse, but he has never quite competed at grade 1 level. Grade field, hard to say. He enhanced his credentials on Sunday, so
he's a klutz, isn't he?
He makes the odd mistake.
You can diplomatic.
Put it as blunt as you're going to put it, but I think they don't have another Defi Desoi.
Yeah, neither do I. I think they should go bold. He's earned his place to be there. Now, we're going to show you how the race panned out and compare two course and distance races, grade ones on the same day. The novices chase, which was at Road to Cheltenham, novices chase, the Henry VIII, on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side is the Tingle Creek. And so Torpillo on the left-hand side in the green is the one that took them along for the Henry VIII, and on the right-hand side it was the Headlong or Nua who made the running.
Yeah, and they went, obviously with our Nua, they were always probably going to go a good gallop, but then you throw in the likes of Undersoe and you were guaranteed a good gallop. You need more than one horse to guarantee a strong pace, and you had two in the Tingle Creek, and you see now where Torpillo's coming just to the winning post. Arnua and the Tingle Creek horses are already passing the parade ring exit. They've already gotten 20 yards in front, which is probably always going to happen in the Tingle Creek.
It was an end-to-end gallop. We'll see later on that when Arnua weakens, Undersoe takes over. So when Torpillo weakens, you know, that the whole race starts to implode at that point. That doesn't happen in the Tingle Creek.
Yeah, it's probably class, but also good jockeymanship in the Henry VIII. You know, when they were always going to keep going to Tingle Creek, there was no doubt about that. Undersaw, as soon as Arnua gives up, was going to. He stays, gets 2.5. Paul Townham was never going to stop on him. But you see here, the first fence in the back, Arnua's taken off, and you can see how much further they're in front than the Henry VIII. And that's not always the way in a Tingle Creek. Often the Henry VIII can be quicker than the Tingle Creek, but this year was particularly quick and a strongly run race. And the novices, does it raise a question mark over the novices, Lydia?
I think it possibly does. I'm not sure Esprit de Large is the kind of horse that Evan Williams will be particularly bothered about running at the Cheltenham Festival. I think he'll have other targets potentially in mind for this horse. But he's certainly a promising young horse. He's progressed really quite rapidly.
But even at the water, they haven't started to catch up. The Tingle Creek hasn't slacked yet. Mm. It's still the same distance in front, or roughly the same distance in front of the Henry VIII. And as they approach the YC Somerville Voy, falling at the water jump.
Another klutz.
My God, I never thought I'd see a horse fall to water jump. But I'm at the last railway now. The Tingle Creek is best part of. It's almost a fence in front.
Yeah, it is. Almost a fence in front.
Yeah, not quite, but it's not far off it. And as you say, now Torpillo collapses, but that's where Adam Wedge takes over and slows down the Henry VIII. Not slows it down, but he doesn't commit. He hangs on to his horse in the Henry VIII.
And the horse lying in third, Numi Negra, afterwards Dan Skelton, his trainer, was suggesting that races that put more of an accent on speed will be very suitable for him, something like Warwick or Aintree.
But that was a speed race. They didn't go quick. It turned into a bit of a dash for them compared to the Tingle Creek, which was a solid gallop that was kept up and was kept up all the way. And that's probably why, as we said already, Defi Desai, as much as I initially thought he was pulling up, I don't think he was. They had run solid fractions on a really strong gallop, and he was just coming to the end, I think, of his challenge.
And did Barry Geraghty, did he think, I just can't let Under Sir get too far ahead? Is that why?
I'd say he was more worried about Defi spending a bit of time in the air and losing unnecessary ground, so he rode him a bit more forward to counteract that. But Defi jumped much better, and he didn't need to counteract it. But I could see why he did it. I would have done the same if I was riding him. Mm-hmm. I'd have ridden him a bit handier than I had been riding him over 2.5. I'd have gone forward to cover that, prepare for the mistakes, but the horse jumped much better, and with the experience under his belt, he's a genuine champion chess horse.
And that end-to-end gallop, you know, Ornia going headlong, or Under So taking over, has allowed Waiting Patiently to really gain some cheap ground late on.
It has, but he's a very good horse, Waiting Patiently. He's just a difficult horse to figure out where to go and what is the right distance for him. He obviously appreciates slower ground. Does he go to Leopardstown at Christmas? I can't see Kempton being... That's going to be too sharp from over 2 mile, even watching that race. Ascot in January, 2.5, or is that early February? Is he a Ryanair horse? I don't know.
We'll come back to Waiting Patiently later on. Actually, someone has tweeted about it. We'll have a bit more of a discussion then. There was a flat track thing. Does he need very soft ground? Does he need space between his races? He's a bit Goldilocks, really. He needs everything absolutely just right, or is perceived to.
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks, yeah.
I thought she robbed everything.
No, she wanted everything just right, didn't she? She wanted, you know, she couldn't have the porridge too hot, couldn't have it too cold, it had to be just right. That's Waiting Patiently.
Right, I'm just waiting patiently, literally.
Okay, I'll get on with it. Okay, I will get on with it. Right, okay. The very next day, we had the Hilly Way at Cork, and we saw a pretty good performance from Silas Emery. This is a horse that was heading towards the Arkle, wasn't he, last season, Ruby? And then picked up an injury.
I won on him in Goran Park when he beat Duke de Geneve, actually. Duke de Geneve was only third. It was a really good performance. He'd solid enough hurdle form too, Lydia. What was shaped up to be a weakish Arkle last year, but unfortunately, he fell by the wayside as well, so he didn't make it. But this was a really good performance. This is his third. This is Great Field highlighted, who stands back from the fourth last, but not too far back, and doesn't get there. That may be telling you he's getting empty. But Keyless Emery on your right in the purple, he's having his third run over fences. Ballyushin in the McManus colours. Like, he's a class horse and a brilliant jumper to watch. So I think this was a really good performance from Keyless Emery. I know you think Ballyushin probably didn't run to 168.
I didn't think he was... I thought that he can, in a Grade 2 race, boss it so that he can actually put up a very good performance. But then when he's put in a race that he can't dictate, that he's not good enough to dictate, he underperforms.
And I think that's the difference, and that's where ratings are going wrong in the world, that you're giving Grade 2 horses Grade 1 ratings.
I don't think we've got time to change the subject into that, do you? I mean, you could go on for 2 hours about that.
You could, but specifically me, yeah. I think that was a really good performance from a horse with as little experience as Keyless Emery to go and beat such a yardstick as Ballyushin. I think that was a really good performance.
How fragile is he? Because last season he only ran once as a novice chaser. The season before, in his second season over hurdles, he only ran twice. You know, he does have a profile that makes you worry from an antipost perspective.
It probably does. And I can't even think what happened to him. I don't know what happened to him. But nothing drastic. There was nothing at the time there that was a huge chunk. Like, he didn't get a tendon or break something. They were all niggly small bits. And maybe now with a bit of age, a bit more mature, he might get through a whole season.
I was really impressed with that performance, and I was sort of trying to compare it time-wise to the mare's novice that happened immediately afterwards. But it's actually very difficult to do that because, in effect, they took different courses, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Because of the high wind in Cork on Sunday, they bypassed the cross fences in the mare's chase. And you'll see here when they pass the stands, that's Ballyushin getting to the rail past the stands. Now, he continues straight on, jumps the fence on the top end of Cork Racecourse, I would call it. And as we picked them up, followed them into the back straight now to the running rail at the start of the first fence in the back, just coming there now. He's gone all the way around that bend on the chase course and stayed on it. Whereas Sonoria, in the next race, when she gets to the very same point past the stands as Ballyushin, she takes a different track. They're manoeuvred in onto the hurdle course. So you can see here now, we're Snorri in front in the blue. As she takes, goes forward, she goes inside the fence, follows the arrow. But Danny Mullins then proceeds to go further in, which he's entitled to do, than Rachel Blackmore goes initially. And when we split time these two races from this point to the first fence in the back straight, where we'll pick it up again in a second, they got their 4 seconds quicker. When I did rough maths on the race, it worked out to about 50 metres shorter. So Keyless Emery ran 50 metres further. I know they bypassed the fence on the other end, but that was when he literally going around it. There was no bends involved. He ran 50 metres shorter in 0.8 of a second slower.
So that's three fences fewer jumped by the mares and a shorter course taken has produced the quicker time. Actually, it's deceptively a very good performance.
I think it is. I think you can, what would you call it? Mark up?
Yeah.
No, I think you can mark
up. That's the lingo.
That's the lingo, isn't it? You can mark up Silas Emery's farm. What are we calling him? Celius? Kylius?
I don't know. You supplied me with three different options, and I think you might have used all three of them during the course of the last 5 minutes. So none of us the rest are any
it's
wiser.
It's not Silas Emery, anyway.
I won't say Silas. I'll try and remember that. Right. Let's have a look at the betting, shall we, for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. So we've got Altior hanging over this. You know, is he going to go back to the 2 mile route? I feel that Nicky Henderson wants to go that way. Chacun Pour Soi, who we haven't seen yet this season, is 130. And of the horses that have actually played their card so far, Deputy Soy is 7-2, and Silas Emery is 7-1, 10-1 and upwards from Min. Chacun Pour Soi beat Defi de Soy by 4.25 lengths in a grade one at Punchestown. Only his second start over fences. How is he?
He's super. I rode him working Punchestown last Sunday. He worked really well. He worked with Ken Boy and Album Photo and a couple of others. He worked really well. He's going to go to Leopardstown at Christmas. He's in really good form. I'd say he's a very, very good horse. This is a brilliant performance. There's Defi de Soy. Here comes Duke de Geneve. Yeah, it's rock solid form. Now, you cannot very easily argue he was the fresher horse.
Absolutely, I was just going to say that.
Defi de Soy had been to Cheltenham and had the season and had been running over further and it dropped back. And you can see already the improvement in Defi de Soy, having had that run, the Scholler, and then the Tingle Creek, how he is progressing as a 2 miler. So I think the Champion Chase has the makings of a belting race. And I wouldn't be surprised if your 14-1 Altior turns out.
Really? Oh, you think that the reputation of horses that are longer prices than him at the moment might grow to such a degree that it becomes quite a scary race to look at?
I do, yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Willie tries to keep both of his as alive and on target as possible. I can't see Defi de Soy taking them on. I think the three of them could clash in the Champion Chase and scare Altior off.
That could be brilliant. Chacun Pour Soi.
I'm just saying that. Scare Altior off. I don't mean that, but I think when Nicky looks at it. That Champion Chase could be a belting race.
Chacun Pour Soi, is there any reason why we've only seen him twice?
A whole host of, again, small issues. We had him for 2 or 2.5 years before we got to run him. And I think when Willie did run him eventually last season, it was a case of, I've had this horse so long, I just have to run him. And he won a novice, beginner's chase in March, did he? Just before Cheltenham?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and then his second run of offences was obviously in Punchestown when he won the Grade 1. Now, had he not run there, he would have been a novice all the way to December, but the Grade 1's a Grade 1.
Now, you, without me prompting you at all, are goading a certain Simon Sanders, who is a regular correspondent on Twitter. We can have a look at what he had to say. If Altior ever turns out in cheek pieces, I'll run around Cheltenham Racecourse naked. It's more than absurd, and beaten in 19, nobody says a word, then beaten by what may turn out to be a great horse, and then the rubbish starts. But I wanted to put that in writing on the television, Simon, so that were Altior ever to run in cheek pieces, that we would all know exactly what you needed to do.
I won't be turning up to watch you, Simon. Running around Cheltenham naked, to be God honest. But you call it rubbish, but when you are unbeaten in 18, when you do get beaten, you have to ask the question why. And how do you keep a horse as brilliant as Altior at the top? That's all we're trying to do.
There you go. I didn't say it. Right, let's move on, shall we? We can move on to the John Durkin now and discuss Min. Obviously, he's tried the Champion Chase a couple of times. He's come up short both times. I was sort of frustrated with what happened on both occasions, but I think it's inevitable.
Oh, the ride I gave him last
year. Absolutely, absolutely.
I had to try something different. There's no point giving Min a Altior lead for another day.
It was an odd race, though, as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be the only one. I did think I'd be the only one who would try it. I didn't think everyone else was going to do the same. But, that didn't work spectacularly.
But I feel like if he goes to Cheltenham, then he'll go for the Ryanair. And Blondie has been in touch via Twitter as well. And he says, I can't see him running at Shaq and Batswara. I agree. He wouldn't win the Ryanair. Surely he'll go straight to Aintree and then back to 2 miles of Punchestown. What do you reckon for Min?
William Mullins trains him. Sorry, Blondie. Unless there's something wrong with him, he'll be in Cheltenham.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Ryanair?
I would have thought so. I would think so. His best performance, without doubt, was Aintree last year.
Mm. You can say what you want about the form.
Yeah, it's a standout. That's 2.5 miles. I've often wondered, well, will he go further with him?
He said after this.
Yeah. The only thing that worried me about this performance, not worried me, but I didn't like about this performance, was the jumping. Right, so he jumps the first a bit high. We forgive him that. But this is the fifth, and he throws himself at it. Now, he's too many miles in the clock to be doing that. He should have popped. And the same with the last ditch, throws himself. We watched the next fence, which is the third last, but he'd done the very same with the fourth last. This is what Min knows how to and should be doing. That's a perfect jump for me. Mm. So now the race is starting. Ante is up and into the straight to the second last. I don't know what this is. He gets there, but it's all sideways. And then he has to dig deep, to be fair to him, and rallies to beat Hardline to the last. But again, the height he throws at the last. He's not a novice or a beginner. He's a hardened, seasoned horse. And I don't know why he jumped the way he jumped. Now, pure ability is the reason he's won the race, and I'd have no doubt about him, 2, 2.5, 2.5. I even think somewhere along the way he'd get 3.
Afterwards, Willie Willis was saying he might stretch out to 3 miles with him on a flat track. Aintree, his standout performances on a flat track. Do you think that's what sees him at his best?
Probably does, yeah. He's, to be fair to Min, like, without Altior, he's won a Supreme and a Champion Chase, you know what I mean? And Altior's a brilliant horse, so, flat tracks probably do suit him, but having said that, like, he would have won twice in Cheltenham without one horse.
You can't knock his Cheltenham running. He does has run well there every time, apart from last time. And as I said, I thought that was just an odd race.
Go on, say it, Lily. Go on.
How do I want to?
You won't defend me, like. I am retired.
I thought it was a negative ride.
Yeah, it was. I agree with you. Okay. Got it. Absolutely arseless.
Shall we move on? Let's go on to the social media, shall we? Let's talk about some various things that people have been getting in touch about. I mentioned, this is from Wayne Finter, I mentioned we were going to talk about waiting patiently. He's thinking 2.5 miles now. Immediately after this, I was surprised to see that he wasn't in the King George. I assumed that he would be, but he's not actually entered.
Waiting patiently, I only saw hadn't had a run in the Tingle Creek either. It was Waiting Patiently's first run of the season as well. Definitely saw he had a run. I wonder would he improve and take him on again in the Clarence House?
I think the Clarence House is a good shout.
At 2 miles. And then if he was to win that, could he fit into that champion chase as well? I think we're not giving Waiting Patiently the credit from the Tingle Creek for it being his first run. We say he got outpaced from the last railway to the second last. Who's to say he didn't have a blow and then just run on? Mm-hmm. He could be a dark one.
Okay. I mean, he's obviously got large ability. And as I said before, they'd always sort of felt flat track, soft ground, time between races, and Ruth Jefferson isn't completely sold on the Cheltenham Festival like everybody else in the world seems to be.
No, she's entitled to be. She wants to win Grade 1 races with her horse. But I just wonder, would that fit in? If you're trying to get time between races and work in the programme, from the Tingle Creek to the Clarence House is 5 weeks nearly. Mm-hmm. It's ideal, and it gives you more room moving forward then if she wants to go to Cheltenham, or if she didn't, and on the entry or whatever. But I wonder, like, Undersaw is a different ballgame. He's free and keen and hard. He's always going to get himself fit, whereas Waiting Patiently looks a lovely, relaxed horse and would improve for a run.
I think that's a good shout. Let's move on to Adam Reynolds, shall we? And he was talking about Presenting Percy, who we just saw there finishing third, pretty well positioned in a steadily run race behind Min, but nonetheless, that was a really encouraging performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't agree with Adam. That is the profession of a racehorse trainer, is to mind the horses they have. If you're Pat Kelly in Galway, Presenting Percy is a once-in-a-lifetime horse. Running him on ground is too fast and risking the run of injury. How is he going to replace him just so Adam can see him? I don't get your point, Adam. Last year was a freak season in Ireland. And I think if you look back at what horses ran in Leopardstown last year and at those big race meetings, a lot of them didn't perform again. I'd say Pat Kelly was very patient and has done the right thing. Hopefully he'll reap his rewards this year. He had a brilliant run to John Durkin, and he'll move on to a much softer and much wetter Savile Chase this year.
Did it not suit the horse, maybe, not having many runs last season, even if there's reasons for it?
It didn't. I mean, all right, Albin Foto won a Gold Cup off one run, but it probably went backfired on Rat Finden in the Grand National only having one run, whereas Tiger Roll had managed to get a couple in. Definitely the more races when you're going into championship races at the end of the year, if you can have two or three runs, that's mileage races in your, under the belt, it is a help.
And he finished lame in the Gold Cup, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. I don't know for what. Obviously, he wasn't that bad because he's back out and running now already.
Yeah, which is very encouraging. Yeah, it was certainly a very, very encouraging start. Dunvegan is the next one that has been picked out, this time by Richard Wilson. He was talking about the winning margin last weekend. I kind of think it was irrelevant, really, the way the race sort of panned out, the winning margin. But he was 18 lengths ahead of Valdure in the end. And Brecken was the horse that fell three out, Willie Mullins' horse. And Richard thinks his horse, Dunvegan, who beat him, might move on to be an Arkle contender. And we can have a look at Dunvegan.
I don't disagree with you, Richard. I think you're quite right. Even we pick it up. You see Brecken is about to turn over here with Paul Townend and takes a tire and a possibly heavy fall. But what was more telling before that was Jack Kennedy's body language. Mm. Jack was sitting as quietly as he is now before that fence when Brecken was 12 in front. To me, watching the race live, Jack Kennedy thought he had Paul Townend covered. Even though he was 10, 12 lengths off him, he was never worried about it. Dunvegan was very good in his maiden hurdle. On his next run, he blew out at the Dublin Racing Festival on quick ground. He was pulled up and then ran not great back at the Punchestown Festival at the end of the year. But Pat Fahey has always held him in high regard. And the runner, the two Jingstown horses behind him are no slouches. But just keep looking at the back of that shot. There was fence, horses in that race, a fence and a half behind him. The speed they had gone. This was a really good performance.
And he hasn't really at any point been extended, has he?
No.
He was still cruising when Brecken went.
Yeah, and if Brecken had stood up, he probably would have won even further because you might have had to quicken up and go and race. Mm. But I think that was a really good performance.
I was going to ask you about what happened because when he was up to the top level last season, he struggled a bit, didn't he?
But he only got one real run. That was in the at the Dublin Racing Festival on really quick ground and he pulled up. He obviously didn't handle it.
So where would you think he'd go next?
Can't see him going to Christmas. It's too close. You might see him on the 4th of January in the winners of two novice chase in Nice.
Okay, and then what would be the plot beyond that? Would
you Dublin Racing Festival then for the Arkle, and then the Arkle in Cheltenham.
And how do you feel the Dublin Racing Festival is working as if you're wanting to go
perfect
to Cheltenham?
Once you have soft ground. The results from it in inaugural year were spectacular. Unfortunately, last year it was good to firm. That was the only problem with the Dublin Racing Festival. It wasn't the location of the meeting or the races. It's ideal for going to Cheltenham. It was just last year being a dry year and the ground being so quick, it had an adverse effect rather than a good effect.
And you thought a couple of horses might have recoiled from that?
I think they did. I think the form book tells you they did.
Okay. I think
the form book tells you from 1 year to the next was a big difference.
You're going to put up another selection, aren't you? You're ahead of me. You're
sticking my neck out, Lydia.
Yeah.
I was doing my homework.
Good. This was a horse we talked about in your absence last week.
Yeah, and a horse that, well, I never rode him in public, but I have ridden him at home. Carefully selected. I thought he did well for making a mistake at the second last to quicken up and get back into the lead in the beginner's chase in Fairy House. He only had the two runs last year. He's a good jumper. He stays forever. And I'm going to stick him up for the National Hunt chase.
Oh, yeah,
I can
cool.
just see Patrick Mullins arriving there between the last two of them.
You've called on the Sam Spinner project for Patrick?
Sam will give him a lead.
You've cooled on the Sam Spinner project?
I haven't. I think Sam Spinner will be there, but just that fella might.
Yeah. He shakes as though a trip would be really good for him.
I think a trip would be ideal for him, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so we'll put him up at the best price, which was 20-1.
Yeah.
Nice one. I think that's a good one. Right.
I'm happy with my portfolio. How are you going?
I feel dodgy at the moment. I've been very sort of like Min in the Champion Chase. I've been very sort of defensive, very negative. that's how I'm playing it at the moment.
Yeah. So I remember that.
I'm hoping to recover. Oh, I'm digging myself in deep here. Right, let's have a look at. I'm trying to get myself into looking at the novice hurdling form because I don't feel like I've really got a grasp on it, you know, properly just yet. So I just wanted to highlight three particular horses, a formula line that is interlinking and quite interesting. So at the top there, we've got Sporting John, who beat Harry Senior at Exeter at the start of November and then won there again last Friday. Bottom left, we've got Edward Stone, who beat Fiddler on the Roof at Wincanton and then here at Harry Senior at Aintree on Saturday. And on the right-hand side, there is Fiddler on the Roof, who was second to Ruby's Albert Bartlett Antipost Tip Time Hill, second to Edwardstone at Wincanton, and then won over seven lengths at Sandown on Saturday. And that just all of that interlinking form line looks to me to be quite solid and quite an interesting form line that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And you, Ruby, have picked out three horses that you particularly wanted to talk about.
I have, but they're obvious. You said to me about novice hurdlers in Ireland. I think there's a complete strain of form. Is that what you said?
Yeah, strain of form is fine.
Strain of form. I think it all revolves around one horse, and that's Envoy Allen. Mm-hmm. His form is, and everything that's in it. Abracababras is right behind me. Abracababras beat latest exhibition in Navan. I think they both tie back to the Cheltenham Bumper form with Blue Sari and Tyne Hill. I think that Cheltenham Bumper form was looking particularly strong. And I think the other line of form is Fury Road, who has won twice. This was an absolute solo. He jumped super and travelled really well. He's due to run on Sunday against Andy Dufresne, and that'll be a huge clash. Then you'll have Blue Sari against maybe Envoy Allen at Christmas in the 2 mile, and in Nace in early January, you'll have Andy Dufresne, Fury Road, Elixir Danae, Longhouse Poet. I think the next sort of month will tell a huge amount in the Irish novice hurdlers.
I quite like that Longhouse Poet run.
And the horse that beat him in Nace, Elixir Danae, he's entered at the weekend in Navan. Mm-hmm. I'd say he could be a good horse too.
Mm. And Champagne Wells worth mentioning as well, because they're just going back to that interlinking English form line. He was second behind Tyne Hill, and of course he runs in the Albert Bartlett, doesn't he, on Saturday at Cheltenham. Dolcita, tell me about her. I thought it was very interesting. This is her debut at Tremore on Tuesday.
What do you find interesting?
That it's exactly the same race that Lorena won 2 years ago.
It is. It's a mare's maiden hurdle for maidens, and Dolcita qualified. Paul really liked her. And really liked her before she ran, and she bolted in. There was a couple of Henrys really well fancied, one that had cost quite a few quid at the one at Point to Point, I think, and cost a few quid at one of those sales, but that blew out. But yeah, we liked Dolcita. She had a bit of experience under her belt in France, and Paul was confident about her going there.
Where will she go next?
Winnie Mullins, Creature Habit. Just look up wherever Lorena went, I'd say. Fairy House, is it?
I can't remember, but yeah, I'm sure that's going to be
right.
I was
thinking Mayor's Novice Hurling in Fairy House.
And Jared Sullivan's won the last two Dawn runs now, hasn't he?
He has. Eglantine Desai, who's due out at Christmas.
Yeah, okay. Right, so let's move on to the Road to Cheltenham poll that we did last week. In Ruby's absence, Kevin O'Ryan stepped in, and we were trying to look for an outsider in the champion hurdle, and let's see what happened and who you agreed with. Kevin won. He put up Epatant. He thought that was a better champion hurdle outsider than Coeur Sublime. But, you know, both created some kind of interest. What would be your, which one would you have gone for?
I'd have probably gone with Coeur Sublime.
Right.
I know Epatant got, you call it Epatant, would you?
I've been calling it Epatant, you know, hesitantly, but that's what I've been going with.
Yeah, got £13 for winning in Newbury in the Cherry Fielding, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Rock and Ruby won that, did he? Going on to Cheltenham, he did. I think she has to improve a bit more again.
Oh, yeah.
She did blow out big time there last year.
Yeah, she does have to improve, definitely. We'll be doing another poll on Instagram. You'll be able to have a look at that later this week. So let's talk about one of the big races looking towards the champion hurdle in the long term. A really interesting race in itself, a grade two, the international hurdle. It's the Bula, the international hurdle. We can have a look at the betting for that. The entries, apologies. Interesting horses there in the lineup, potentially. We don't yet have the final field, but if we go through them clearly, starting with Pentland Hills, Ruby, the Triumph Hurdle winner went on to win at Aintree as well, didn't he?
He did, and beat none other than Fakir Du Dairy, wasn't it?
Mm.
In Aintree. Strong staying, good horse. Nico fancied him in the Triumph, to be fair to him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did well to beat Fakir Du Dairy this day.
Particularly having jumped really badly at the first, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, which is very unlike a Henderson horse, but he did. And look, to be honest with you, Lydia, the more I look at the international,
The Bula.
Bula, Stroke Bula, I think Pentland Hills is a good price on Saturday. Can I see him win the champion hurdle? I don't know. Here's an Elixir of the Nuts. But when you look at this, as looking at the last race, Fakir Du Dairy has gone and won two chases, Grand Sansi. Don't think he's franked this form in the same way the Fakir Du Dairy has franked Pentland Hills form.
We never got to see Elixir after he won the Tolworth last season, sadly. The other one that's interesting, of course, is Call Me Lord. He is running for the first time left-handed for Nicky Henderson. Nick Henderson's always said that he wanted to go right-handed. He has won left-handed campaign when he used to be trained by his previous trainer, so it'll be interesting to find out whether he handles Cheltenham. So,
but if either of them are going to be champion hurdle horses, they have to be Call Me Lord.
Mm.
Comprehensively. No,
absolutely. I totally agree with that. Thank you very much for your company. It's been great to see you. I hope you have enjoyed the show. We will see you next week for another Road to Cheltenham. Thanks for watching. Mm-hmm.